It's time for another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman, and happy to have, for the first time here at Camp Fox, the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, Jay Cutler, joins us for his annual get-together here on Bears All Access. Did you miss us?
I did. Did you say Camp Fox?
Camp Fox. You nice. Like that, I right? Do. It's got a nice little ring to it.
Yeah, got a good ring to it.
What's it like?
It's like another training camp, I think.
No, is it seriously like every training camp you've ever been through?
I mean, once you start getting into it, it's training camp's training camp. I think Coach Fox has done a great job in front of the guys in the team meeting setting of passing along his message, getting guys to buy in. So I think that part of it has been really great.
He's got a unique way of speaking. So that means somebody on the team already has an imitation of him, right?
I'm sure someone does. I haven't heard it yet, though.
It's a raspy voice.
It is raspy.
You know, Jay, your personal fitness, earlier people used to talk about it. Now you're a super fit guy. Yeah. Is it good home offering or is it better options by the NFL?
I think a mixture of both. I think guys now, look into those type of things, and it's more prevalent. You know, it's not something where you just kind of show up and you get in shape. It's more guys are taking care of themselves away from the field at home, going that extra mile. And I think the science of it has kind of caught up to the NFL as well.
Who took you to that fitness level? Because you used to call it your happy stage back when you first joined the Bears, and you made a dramatic shift in how you take care of your body.
Yeah, I'd probably say Chris and my wife probably is the one that had the biggest influence in that area, because it's something that, she lives every day, and it's really important to her, and it's something she kind of passed on to me and our kids. So I would have to give her, majority, 95% of the credit for that.
You know, I think in your time in the NFL – nutrition and technology has probably changed more ever than the history of the game. Are you a fan of both of them? Have you been able to use, obviously the nutrition part you've been able to use in your career, but the technology part also?
Without a doubt, I mean, that's a great point. The technology part has been unbelievable of how it's kind of changed the game. Just one example is we're able to listen to Peyton, with the mics on the center now, we're able to listen to games and listen to Peyton kind of call the game as you hear it on the TV copy. So it gives you a little bit of insight of how this offense has ran and, some of the calls that are made. So it's just amazing. In 2006, you watch film from back then, and now everything's HD in the film room, and you watch and you're like, this stuff looks like it's from the 80s, and it's been, it's 10 years ago. So it's funny.
Think of that question. I only thought about visual. I didn't think about how much a voice command could help not only you but everybody else learn it.
Yeah, I mean, because of this, with this offense, there's a lot of words. It's can get wordy sometimes, and you're echoing a lot of stuff that comes off the sideline. So, yeah, just listening to how Peyton did it and kind of his inflection on things, and some things he said, some things he didn't say, has kind of helped in my mind, in Jimmy's mind, of how this process goes.
Is this an offense that when Peyton Manning watches it, is it going to be familiar to him, or is it going to have twists that take advantage of what you do well?
I think it's going to be – I'm sure it's all going to be pretty familiar to him. There'll probably be some twists where we're moving the pocket and getting out of the pocket a little bit more than he would be comfortable with. And, there's going to be some things that he does that I'm not that comfortable with.
It's interesting you say moving the pocket, creating different launch points, because it seems to me from the day that you got here, that's something that you do incredibly well. And yet for whatever reason, all these offensive coordinators that would come here would say that they were going to do that, and then it never quite materialized.
Yeah, I mean, coming into my first couple of years in the league with Mike Shanahan, that was his offense, was the outside zone. Jake Plummer, we had a lot of keepers. That's where we got all of our big plays. So that's what was on film a lot of us running zone, inside, outside zone. And when the end started coming down, we'd keep it and get out the backside. So that's not for every offensive coordinator. That's, that scheme and the way to call plays and the way to get big plays isn't for everybody, because not everyone runs the outside zone. And not everyone's, got a feel for when to call keepers. So it's hard. I think it's hard in a game to say, all right, we're going to call some keepers here and here, because it doesn't work like that. You've got to kind of set those things up, and you got to run zone. And, you might get 3 yards, you might get 2 yards, and you get a 10-yarder, and then you call a keeper and you're out the back door. So it's difficult to kind of to say we're gonna move the pocket if you don't run plays that complement it.
Are mistakes more easily correctable in this terminology? Because I thought the terminology of the past was confusing, even trying to think about how you would say it, how do you have to know it, and then 10 other guys. Yeah. If there's a mistake, is it easier to correct?
I think with this offense, guys just kind of hear their part of the play, and they were able just to focus in on that part. And there, a lot of this stuff they don't really have to worry about. They just know, hey, he said this is my assignment. Just got to run that. So I think in that regard, it is a little bit easier.
It's like an NBA game now during these practices because you got the music blasting, trying to distract you guys to make it difficult for everyone to hear the play. Whose musical selection is it out there?
I don't know. I asked that like 3 days ago because I was like, this stuff is, we're all over the map. They do a good job of mixing it up. And then I saw Purnell over by the DJ, and next thing I know, like, he's getting a lot of his requests in. So whenever we have DJs, I think guys are starting to pressure the DJ into playing their type of music.
What would be on the Jay Cutler playlist?
Honestly, it's white noise to me. Like, I don't even hear it because I've got the headset, so all I hear is Adam, and he talks a lot out there at practice.
But does he talk loud, or does he try to whisper to make it even harder on you?
No, he just talks regularly. I mean, mine's turned up. I mean, you whisper in mine, and I've got it jacked up, and it's going to come across like a megaphone. So I don't even hear the music half, like,
but
90%
of the time. But if you could, what would you have out there?
Well, I mean, I'd like to please the masses, so I would have.
You're asking a question you don't want to get an answer.
No, because he can go in a variety of different directions. He could pick soft, easy listening music.
I would call the play. I would think on pass plays, I'd probably go country just so the defense is like, they kind of hype him down a little bit, you know?
Right.
Because I know Purnell, like, whenever country comes on, he doesn't go as hard, but whenever some of his upbeat stuff comes on, he's bopping around, and
don't tell those visiting.
That should be something to investigate. when you have your teammates down at Vandy, do you use terminology or do you just do drills that you would repetitiously do at practice?
We do a little bit of both. The first day, we kind of just drilled. We worked out. We ran some routes on air. And then the next couple days, we would kind of simulate some drives and, just to help them get in shape and just so they can hear terminology, of just simulate drives and work our way down the field of giving them formations and a play call so that, hey, they got to get lined up. They got to think about the play. Now what's my route? What's my adjustment? And, we would go all the way down. So it was good stuff.
We're talking football, having some fun with Bears quarterback Jay Cutler. When we come back, Tom, I don't know if you got a chance to see this. I was flipping through the paper today, and one of Jay's former offensive coordinators had some really nice things to say about number six. We'll discuss next here on Bears All Access.
Double M.
Yes. We're going to get a little Martsy in here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tickets to Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest are on sale now. Come watch the Bears scrimmage August 8th at Soldier Field. Ticket and event information can be found at chicagobears.com/events. Championship Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by Bears quarterback Jay Cutler here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So I'm flipping through the paper. Mike Martz talking to the Chicago Tribune, saying that he believes this is an opportunity for you this year to have probably your best season as a quarterback. Did you hear about that, and do you agree with him?
I did hear about that, not because Jim, one of the PR guys, he sends me over kind of all the stuff that's important to me that I need to know before I have to do media, which I did today. So I did see that, and I appreciate it. I know that Adam and Mike have a really good relationship, and I enjoyed Mike when he was here as well.
You know, one of the things that could attribute to that, from the small window that we've had a chance to watch the offense, Jay, when you break the huddle, I see the offensive line going to the line of scrimmage with a lot more confidence.
Yeah.
Not necessarily being on their heels, but being on their toes ready to explode. Can you feel that when you break the – well, if you call a certain play, you break the huddle?
I can definitely feel like this offense is attack, 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 attack. And, it's not just throwing the ball down the field either. I think these guys got the mentality of, hey, we're going to run the ball too, and we're going to be successful doing that. I know Matt has a lot of confidence in the scheme we have going forward right now. So those guys are doing a really good job. I know that they've enjoyed the process so far, and they're excited about where it's going to take us.
Kevin White has been a big
popular topic of conversation because he hasn't been here. But you've actually thrown him a ball occasionally, and you've seen what he can do, at least in the offseason. Give us, from your vantage point, the scouting report on Kevin White and what he can do for this offense when he does get back on the field.
Yeah, there's been a big buzz. I don't think anyone's happy about the lack of information on him, I guess.
Yeah, but you know the answers, and you're smiling, so that can't be that serious, right?
Maybe I just got a good poker face. I don't know the answers, actually. All I know is what you guys know, so I'm not even going to say what I know because I don't know what you know. Figure that out.
Yeah, that's confusing.
Just going to be a big guy, big part of this offense. You know, each day Adam Gase kind of has a little antagonistic gadget play in there. Mm-hmm. Is it something that – is this for fun or a real threat?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's I think him and Vic kind of go back and forth of – who can come up with some of the craziest schemes from time to time. And we like to have a little fun, every 3-4 days. It's just putting a play in there that guys can have some fun with. So it's not always – we're not meeting. It's just kind of grinding away that, hey, we can get the ball to some different guys and mix it up. But I know for a fact he's not afraid to call him.
Right. Matt Slauson gets to run a fumble Ruski way back in OTAs. Yeah. But that kind of lights up the entire offensive line room because there's something different, something unsuspecting. So I do think that is a positive carryover for the whole group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have fun when you play this game. Right. You can't just grind, especially at camp. We've got to be able to sit back and have some fun from time to time.
How much do you think it's going to help you getting ready for the Packers when the regular season starts to go up against a 3-4 defense the entire offseason?
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever went against a 3-4. This is the first time I've ever played on a team that's had a 3-4. So it's funny. I remember when I first came to the league, you saw a 3-4, and it was like Spanish. You got up there, you're like, God, there's people everywhere. What the heck's going on? But now so many teams are running 3-4. And they get to go against it every day, you get used to it, and I think it's really good work for us. And us being able to go to Indy and go against somebody else that runs a 3-4, kind of see a little bit different version of it will be good as well.
What stands out about some of the players from the Bears defense that are running it? Because you get a chance to look at them all the time.
Yeah, I think we've got unbelievable deep group of outside linebackers and some edge rushers. We got a lot of guys, and how that's going to play out, I think that's anyone's best guess. But there's a lot of talent there. I think Shea and Cheese in there have done an incredible job at inside linebacker. Two physical guys, a lot of speed. I think they picked it up really quickly. We got some new guys on the outside too. I think Porter's been a good addition. Kyle Fuller looks good. Tim looks good. Getting Antrell from the Giants, a veteran guy that has kind of seen everything and helps get everyone lined up. And I think Vic has done a really good job of keeping us off balance and mixing up his looks, three down, four down, floaters, bringing zero blitzes at us. We've kind of seen everything you can really do up to this point.
It's neat because I think Pernell McPhee put the tight end position on high alert. That, look, I practice physical, so you better block me better. And I think it's good because, the tight end is a position that you have strength in Martellus Bennett, the young guys behind. But when Sam Acho or Jared Allen or the rest of the guys that are David Bass lined up on the outside, it's better that they're being practiced against more ferociously because they're going to be better in the games.
Without a doubt. Those guys on defense are coming each and every day. Right. I mean, today we lost a lot of battles, up front, and I think I've got to play better. Everyone on offense has to play better because we got beaten about every phase. So it's good for us to go against those guys and know that, hey, they're coming every day, and we've got to bring our A game as well.
What's it like in the meeting room after a day like today?
I think we do a good job of teaching. We'll set the precedent and say we got to do better, and we'll get on some guys. We're very accountable in that room. But on the flip side of that, you got to be able to teach through that. You can't just yell at guys and say, hey, you got to get better, and expect it just to happen. You got to show them why and how to get better. And I think as coaches and veteran players, we do a really good job of that.
I don't even know if you have yet. Have you taken any underneath staffs from Hronis Grusu yet? The center we talk about, he hasn't have a great deal of experience about being explosive when this quarterback is underneath him.
Yeah. I've taken some just in QC, before practice, but I haven't taken any in game. So I don't know what Jimmy's dealing with. I know that they had a little bit of issues in spring ball. of him, but he's a really hard worker. He wants to do it, so he's going to get it figured out.
And Will Montgomery, the guy who's with the first team as the center, comes over from Denver, so he knows this. That's got to help you when he can take care of all those protections up front.
Yeah, he gets up there, and he's making the mic point for I am, so he's on top of it. He knows all the verbiage, all the line slides, everything that we're trying to get done, so it simplifies things for me.
What's been the most challenging part of this offense for you to this point?
I think just the a lot of this stuff, it's just a lot of words. A lot of code words. There's just a lot of words in general, which is something new for me. A lot of rogue memorization of just random words you kind of have to learn. There's not really a rhyme or reason to some of these things. You just have to kind of memorize them and go with it.
And are you going to be screaming Omaha?
I'm not going to scream Omaha. We've got some other things going on, but Omaha.
What city is going to be famous because of Jay Cutler?
I don't think we're not going to do
it. It's going to be Nashville?
No, we're not doing a city. We've got a...
All state.
we've got something else going on. I'm sure it'd be out there rather quickly because with all, there's 64 mics on the field now these days. So
there's going to be a word that is going to be synonymous with you by the end of this season.
There will be a word.
Boy, this is so exciting. Can you give us a hint? Like, is it a color? Is it?
No, it's not a color.
You know what? Jay has forgot more than you'll know in your life.
That's
when
true.
You think of all the offenses and the terminology, and for offensive players, they have to be repetitiously hearing those same words for 6 and 7 months before it becomes a second thought. And all of us, we're just looking for one key phrase in every quarterback description, but they're known all 11 assignments.
Oh, we're going to hear it on the radio broadcast. I mean, because it's going to pop through the speaker. I can't wait to find out what this is.
I mean, it was kind of a group decision on what we were going to go with, because, I mean, we knew we didn't want to do Omaha because that was Peyton.
But does it make sense to you now what Peyton Manning was doing? Because you probably didn't know for sure, and now...
No, I knew what he was doing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
But now you can't explain it to us because you're going to be doing the same thing.
I mean, everyone kind of knows what you're doing. I mean, it's just part of your snap count. So,
see, this is going to be a fun little game within the game that the fans get to play along with.
I mean, we have like four right now, so we're...
Oh, you got to narrow it down.
No, I mean, we're going to use a lot of them, but there's one constant one that we're pretty happy about.
He's smiling because it's going to be a good one. We got to take a timeout when we come back. I don't know if you've seen the footage of Kyle Long and his new little, I'll call it a toy. He calls it a big wheel, but, I have some sources in the building, and they tell me that he's not the only one with a big wheel on campus. We'll discuss next. Jay Cutler is our guest for the whole hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears on this week's show. Anthony Adams heads to training camp, Dan Hampton delivers season tickets, and Hieronis Grasu and his unique path to the NFL. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, and Bears quarterback Jay Cutler with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So a year ago, Jay Cutler pulls up to training camp here in Bourbonnais, and he's got the conversion van. It was the story of camp, right? He still has the conversion van. No one's paying attention to
Love
it.
Love the vans.
What kind of changes did you make to that baby?
None, really. Jared Allen has one, too, so now there's two in the parking lot.
You know, Jared Allen says that when he was in Minnesota, because he was our guest last week, he says that he parked an RV right off the practice field, and Brad Childress let him stay in there during the day when he had nothing to do.
Really?
You'd love that.
Nah. I mean, I kind of like the dorms, being around the guys, hanging out, so.
See, you're a people person.
Yeah.
So when you see the highlights of the new vacation movie, is that where you see your summer vacation? You got the family packed up, the family truckster.
Kristen's not a big fan of it as me and the boys are, so she's hesitant to get into it.
How cool was it, by the way, to have your kids out on the practice field here in Bourbon? That's never happened before, right?
No. Camden came down. He this year will be the first year he's been able to go to games. His schedule has kind of been conflicting. His nap schedule is conflicting with the with the game schedule. This should be the first one. So he's watching them on TV. So he was pretty excited to come. I'm excited for him.
A lot of noon starts this year. So, you know, yeah, that's good for the Nats.
Exactly.
Is he now at a stage in life where he can kind of understand exactly what his daddy does?
Yeah, I mean, I think he gets it because, you know, yesterday we had an off day. I went home and he grabbed the football and he was like, let's go play football. So he wanted to, well, first he asked me because I told him I was going to bring some more of those eye black stickers home for him. I mean, I got home late at night, and next morning, like, I go to get him up, and he looked at me and goes, did you bring home the eye black? And I was like, oh, no, I forgot. I go, we ran out, buddy. I'll bring you some.
Now, are you teaching him how to play football, or is he going to own a team one day?
I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah, but you can give him the kind of tools to get to that point, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
See,
so.
That's I'm thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier on the body, I think, to own the team.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he wants to do. If he wants to play, he can play. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
You know, when we are young, we had different inspirations that play sports. And you know, my mom and my family did it a lot, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you had your inspirations. Like, when you forethink that about your kids, I mean, is it still do you think about a sports way of life, or?
Yeah, I mean, my train of thought, like, you know, I don't want him to feel like it's something he has to do because I did it. You know, I don't want him to feel pressured into doing it. You know, it's almost because the percentage that move on and go on and play professional football is so small, you almost feel bad because the likelihood of happiness is so small. So, you know, whatever he wants to do, if he wants to play football or sports, they can play. If they don't, you know, I'll support him in whatever else they want to do.
You know, what's amazing is if you go on YouTube, you can see videos of Jay when he was in high school playing all these different sports. He was a tremendous basketball player. I guess if you're in Indiana and you're a good athlete, you have to be a great basketball player, right?
Quarterbacks are great at everything.
And then a terrific baseball player. When did you steer yourself into football and know, okay, this is what I'm going to do best in life?
Yeah, you know, probably I liked basketball the most growing up as a kid. You know, I probably played more baseball than anything because I would play all summer long. I'd play, you know, in the spring, and then all summer long I'd play Legion ball and travel everywhere. So I probably played more baseball in high school than anything else. But probably after my sophomore year of football, that's when I was like, you know what, I love football more than these other sports. I mean, I still enjoy the other sports, but I knew that football, you know, was what I wanted to play.
And no one forced you into sports. It's sort of something that
no one forced me into it. I mean, they obviously, my parents obviously, you know, made some sacrifices so that I could, and, you know, taking me and busting me all over the place and making sure I was at practice and had everything I needed to do. But, you know, I remember, you know, if my dad was late and I had to go to practice or something, I'd be mad. I'd be like, where you been? Like, I gotta get there. Like, we gotta go. You know, so I really enjoyed it. I loved playing.
When you get ready and start preparing for the regular season, because you'll have small snippets of experience in the preseason, will you be watching still some Denver offense?
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely watch that kind of all the way through. We still go back and watch cut-ups if we'll play. If I'm like, you know, I need some more cuts of this. I need some more reps of this. So we'll pull up some Denver stuff and, you know, watch Peyton do it 5, 6, 7 times and just kind of try to live through him a little bit because our reps are limited a little bit out here.
You mentioned how verbose the play calling is in this offense. Do you marvel at how the recall that Peyton Manning has to be able to do it?
Yeah, I mean he's lived this offense for, you know, however many years, so he kind of developed it, and he's been in it his entire career, so it makes it a little bit easier.
The reason I ask is this the first time that you've truly studied somebody else and exactly what they do in a particular offense?
Yeah. And, you know, Adam did a great job. I mean, Adam wasn't just sitting over there going, hey, run whatever you want to run.
No, hey, Peyton, when he was an unknown Peyton, now I know you knew him back from your days when the Detroit Lions were looking at you back in the day, and we'll get to that in a bit, but he said, Peyton Manning publicly, when few people knew who Adam Gase was, that this guy was a major factor as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was.
You have to be, you know, because when you look at this offense, you have different tempos. You also, next thing you know, you're running in the line of scrimmage, running a play before the defense can even make a transfer of personnel or even get lined up. That's what I like to see is that, you know, I talk about the offensive line going to confidence, but it seems like, man, you guys can get a fast pace out there.
Yeah, we can speed it up. We can slow it down. You know, we can hit you with a changeup real quick. We can speed it up. And then middle of the play, kind of slow things down. So there's a lot of different things we can do, you know, and I think Adam does a really good job of kind of managing those and giving you some freedom within the, within some parameters of being able to do some things.
How cool is it to have a guy that you can talk to who's your coach, who's similar age-wise? He's a little bit older than you, obviously, but enough where you can have a rapport with him that you probably didn't have with the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, this whole offensive staff is really young. I think maybe, you know, Mike Groh's kind of the probably one of the only ones kind of on the 40 range. But Dowell's 35, 36. Adam's right there in the same ball game. So all of us are kind of in the 30 crew and kind of in the same era. So that's kind of nice.
You know, when I was watching you guys at OTAs, I saw Adam transferring the play into your headset. But you guys were quite a distance apart. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. Usually I see the offensive coordinator telling you directly, maybe some reminders, but how did you like that separation?
I like it. You know, everything is kind of game-like. Everything's as much as we can simulate games, so we try to use the headset. And you know, if I have to have my helmet on, we try to use the headset because, you know, a lot of the stuff we do is some of the stuff at the line, so you know, he's able to talk to me a little bit longer.
Got to take another time out here, but before we do, so Kyle Long has this big wheel. You know, you've seen it's kind of like a tricycle, and no grown man should be riding that thing, but I understand he brought a second one that might be in your dorm room.
Yeah, I was with them when these things were actually purchased.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was right there with them when these things were purchased, and the one he's riding actually is mine. We sat down to build them together. And I built mine.
And he took it.
He got frustrated, and he was like, I'm not going to build this anymore. I'm like, well, I don't know what you're going to do. So then the next morning, he was like, hey, can I ride yours? And I was like, all right. So I have to then finish building the other one, which I just haven't had time to do yet.
Can you please ride around campus with one of the – could you imagine what
you ever see the Shining when the two girls are riding the big wheels through the
– Well, I prefer to say it'll be like a smaller version of Chips. One will be Ponch, the other will be John, right? That's in your age group.
I'll finish building it tonight. Well, the problem is he messed up building it, so I have to take a lot of it apart and fix it. So I'll finish it up tonight.
Once again, he's always got to clean up the garbage.
Right.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
But,
so you're really going to ride around campus with this thing in public where people can take pictures of you? Because, you know, everywhere
fun,
he goes.
They're fun to ride. I rode it whenever we built it at night, I rode it around over there by the lunch area, and I rode it around. They're fun to ride.
Yeah, but see, you do it privately. You strike me as the type of person that is very image conscious. Like, you don't want to be put in a situation where someone can catch you in a picture that might be unflattering.
I have enough of those already.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's out the window.
I got to clean it up some.
Well, now that he's a dad, it's a totally different experience. Let's take a time out. When we come back, more with the quarterback of the Bears, Jay Cutler, with us here on Bears All Access alongside Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ready, set, shuffle. Registration now open for the Super Bear Shuffle 5K, powered by PowerPlate, on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more at www.chicagobears.com/5K. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, and Bears quarterback Jay Cutler with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And it's time to decide on the practice player of the week, brought to you by Sports Authority. Guys, I need you to help me decide who is the practice player here at training camp through the first week of action. And I don't even know who the candidates are. You get an opportunity to work with just about everybody, and you see everybody, and then you watch a video of everybody. Yeah. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Who would you say is the player of camp so far?
Eddie Royal.
Why?
He's there every single day. You know, we're 11, 12 personnel. He's on the inside. He's on the outside. He's unbelievably hard to cover. He's a hard worker. He's kind of one of the leaders of the offensive side. He's doing everything right.
And what about the defensive side?
I would have to go with McPhee. I mean, he is just bringing havoc every single day.
See, that's what Jared Allen said last week. So we'll give it to Eddie Royal and switch it up and make him the offensive player of the week. What is it about McPhee as a quarterback? Because I can line him up everywhere. So as a quarterback, what does he do?
I mean, I like him when he's out in space. Like, let him drop, keep him out in space. Like, I'm fine with him out there. It's whenever he's setting the edge or whenever he's coming off the edge trying to get the quarterback, you know, he's tough to deal with. I mean, no matter if he's the right side or the left side, and then they start, you know, kind of moving him around a little bit, he's a load now.
when I see the Bears' defense, if there's one player on offense that's not 100% sure about his assignments, you're really going to be susceptible to getting pressure. The other day I watch a play, and before the quarterback cadence finishes, the defense makes three adjustments that changes the protection three times. Mm-hmm. That's when you'd like to see Pernell McPhee getting that big one-on-one and an important third down and stuff, because he brings a lot of power with his rush.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's kind of one of the things that Vic's defense does. It makes you change protections. It makes you think as a quarterback, and I think it's able to put some of those pass rushers in one-on-ones, and that's all you can ask for as a pass rusher, just get a good one-on-one matchup.
You know, old-school Vic Fangio, what I like about the competition out here is when you go back and you look at Sam Mills, one of the greatest linebackers in the history of football, USFL and NFL. I played against him a ton, and he was only 5'4 and a half, 5'5, 5'6, and was a dominator. So no one is – if you will go out there and you play and you perform up to his expectations, you have an opportunity to win a job. And when you look at different guys out there, that's what's going to make the defense better.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's what Coach Fox and really all the coaches preach is competition. It doesn't matter if you're a first-round draft pick, if you're a 10-year vet, if you're a rookie, if you're a free agent off the street. If you come out here and you work every day and you compete, you're going to have a shot to make this team.
And if you make the mental mistakes that we've seen in the past, you're not going to be on the field. And I think that's an encouraging sign because it forces you to be at your best. And why were you looking at me when you were talking about Sam Mills being 5'5"?
Because he's an inch taller than you, and I figure if you would have really cared about football, you might have had a chance.
I had this TV appearance with Jared Allen the other day. And I was asking him, I said, I'm going to pretend.
Wait, you had a TV appearance?
Yeah. Well, I was interviewing him. Okay. So technically it's an appearance on television.
Yeah,
I'm factually accurate.
Yeah,
and you know, we're not allowed to shoot the video of the actual plays that are taking place here at training camp. So I got him.
Yeah,
to,
that's been a sticky point, huh?
Well, not for me. I mean, I'm sure it helps you guys out. But I think I do radio. And the thing is.
Yeah, you got a face for radio.
Yeah, and a body to match. I know. So anyway, so he, you know, he stands up and I pretended to be the blocker and just kind of show me what your responsibilities are as an outside linebacker. And he gave me one little shove to kind of throw me out of the way. I'm still in pain.
Now you know how those blue bags feel.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
High five and square.
He's got He's got a lot of leverage.
Yeah, a lot of leverage. We're visiting with Bears quarterback Jay Cutler here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So, we still didn't talk about Kevin White.
No, we have not.
So what does he bring from the little time that you've had to work with him prior to the injury?
Yeah, I mean, I think right off the bat you realize that he's an unbelievable kid, a great guy, a hard worker, you know, very humble, appreciative to be here, which, you know, is refreshing. You get some of these guys, you just don't know what they're going to be like. But he's been a joy to work with. When you do throw him the ball, you get him on the field, you realize he's a big kid, strong hands, fast, explosive. You want to find ways to get him the ball in a little bit of space and kind of let him do his thing.
How will Matt Forte be different in this offense? You know, all the passes he caught last year, but what will Matt be?
Yeah, we need to move him around a lot and just kind of be careful with him. We don't really want to beat him up, you know, throughout the season, because he did get so many touches last year, and a lot of them were checkdowns. A lot of them were for, you know, 3 to 5 yards. So we want to kind of use him in maybe a little bit more explosive role this year and get him some matchups that are favorable for him.
What happened to the wheel route?
We haven't.
Do you? But last year, you know, there were some matchups that either we saw Urlacher getting beat at one point in his career to Matt Forte winning that battle. But I don't know if I ever saw that last year.
Yeah. We didn't really have that last year. Now that you say it wasn't part of the offense. But this has some elements of a Mike Martz offense, which does have some wheel routes in it, does utilize the backs on, you know, getting in some quarters coverage and getting them on a linebacker and, you know, getting a little out and up. So that's something that we'll definitely be able to look forward to with Matt.
Another timeout that we have to take here on the show when we come back. When you're out and about, which doesn't happen often, but when you're out at a restaurant, say, or wherever, on a plane, someone comes over to you, what do fans want to know from you heading into this season? We'll discuss next with Bears quarterback Jay Cutler on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Jay Cutler, our guest for the full hour. Very interesting conversation we've got gone in a variety of different directions. And one direction that we can't go on the show is what fans want to ask Jay Cutler. But I'm sure when they see you, they do. What's the most popular question that you've gotten this offseason?
Will you take a selfie? I'm not joking.
And that's right up your alley.
Yeah, it is.
You love when people take your picture.
Love selfies. Love selfies.
Do you give them the look you're giving me?
No, I'm just like, all right, take your selfie.
Oh, man, I don't
understand. I don't understand the selfie craze. No, I just don't get it.
He was talking about this today earlier with the media about how, you know, some of the players that he's playing with now on the offense are, you know, 9 years younger than him, 10 years. It's a different generation. They now play video games, and there's an app, I think it's called Twitch, if I'm not mistaken.
I have no idea.
There's an app where you can watch someone playing a video game.
You need to do better things with your time. If you're worried about watching someone else play a game,
but the guys in the dorm, right? They're doing it.
This happens. This happens, Tom. This is
of
real
your
life.
Your team, Tom.
And this is the modern day. You know, yeah. I don't know.
What did guys do? What did you guys do in the dorms back in the day when you were Jay's age?
They slept. You know,
smoked
they had
a smoked a cig and then went to sleep.
Had a cigarette and a beer and got ready
didn't
for practice.
Play in the '50s. I mean,
but I tell you, when I did first start playing football, I did play with the guys that smoked, and that was their halftime routine, was to get into the locker room as quick because they knew they could have 3 cigarettes in 12 minutes. Oh. And it's not something that inspired a majority of the locker room, but you still had old school guys that did it.
Yeah.
Now they just play video games nonstop. It's got to be annoying for you because you seem like the type of person that's always making good use of your time.
I mean, not always, but I try to. And you do. I mean, it's different. It's different, man. These kids are different. They come in. Their mindsets are different. Their priorities are different. And we just kind of have to kind of coach them through it and, you know, work with them on some things. And other things just say, hey, this is a really bad idea.
I noticed that you give a lot of fashion advice to some of the youngsters that are in that locker room on the offensive side of the ball.
Sometimes I don't. You know, there's some people that I use that are really good with suits and other fashionable clothing, and I try to steer them in those directions. But some of these guys just want to wear what they want to wear, so it is what it is.
Marquise Wilson, I'll say it. He doesn't have to say it. Q. Marquise Wilson always has interesting outfits that might not mesh with your style, and you let him know that. I also think that last year
they just tell me that's swag. That's their swag. ridiculous, guys.
But you know, if you notice the offensive linemen, they're well dressed thanks to Jay.
Yeah,
you hooked them up last year.
Yeah, got them all. That's the season. Got them all a suit. So it's a well dressed group as is. So. I just kind of helped him out a little bit.
I found out who the suits were made, so I went and had a couple suits made by the guy.
Nice.
You know, one thing about getting on a plane, when we got on a plane as young players, you had a couple beers and you had no technology.
Yeah.
Now these kids have technology right in their face.
No beers.
So it's definitely a different plane ride home than it was when you were a young player.
Yeah. I remember my first plane trip after the game, you got on, and there was 3 beers in each seat, and I was like, whoa, this is... this is all right, I guess. And
but you weren't their starting quarterback back then.
No. Jake was playing.
Yeah, so he could have had a good
time
on that
but
point.
But you didn't have the immediate of the iPad where you're paranoid about missing an assignment or something, you're checking.
You had to wait till you got home. I think Mike Shanahan might have had on a computer. He might have been able to watch on the way home, but there was only like one
laptop.
One deal.
On the entire plane.
Yeah, but... you know, there was no real Twitter, anything like that. So
was it excruciating last year when you're playing these games and, you know, the first thing everyone gets on the plane now and you start looking at the game? Was it tough for you last year because you knew what was going on? You're going to have to watch the meetings on Monday. And just how do you shake that out of your system?
Once you start spiraling down, it gets really hard. Once you start dropping game after game after game, you know, they say winning is contagious, but losing can also be contagious. So you kind of get numb to certain things, which isn't a good thing.
What did you learn about yourself that you didn't know that helped you get through whatever it was that you would call last season?
I think there was a majority of guys that stepped up and did things the right way, even when things were going really badly. Week in and week out, try to do things the right way, and that's all you can ask for.
That's a good thing. You do, it's interesting because of the difficulty of going through a season last year I think you always come to the mic and you not know what to say, but you know what's being asked of you, how to answer the question. And there is difficulty in the immediacy of doing that right after a game, but then you don't have time for it because you got to get right into the game plan that they're handing you by the time you land off the plane.
Yeah, and it's easy to pass blame and blame other people and go that route. And it's a little bit harder to just suck it up and take the blame yourself and try to improve and move on.
This team is close, though. I mean, this team has gotten close quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it really has. I mean, I think we've brought in some really good guys. We kept some really good guys. So it's one of the best locker rooms I've been. One of the kind of the low maintenance locker room. We don't really have any issues. We don't have any guys, complaining about anything. It's just a really good group to work with.
So 180 from last year when you consider some of the stuff that was going on. What's interesting to me is that you told NFL Network that you didn't know if you'd be around for this.
Yeah,
that you could have been,
absolutely.
Traded. Did you think?
Yeah, you never know. Whenever you get a new GM, you get new coaches. You never know what direction they're going to go in, and you just have to kind of have to wait and see.
Because publicly, you were kind of out in limbo based on some of the comments.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were telling you, but when did you kind of figure out, okay, this is where I'm going to be, and I can start building my future here with the Bears for this upcoming season?
Whenever Adam came on board, I talked to him kind of immediately and started to feel better about the situation. But, you never know. You get through the draft and you never know, what if you get a new GM, what he's going to do and what direction he wants to take this team.
Did your phone blow up on draft day?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not easy. Yeah. That can't be fun. Jay Cutler is here. We'll get his reaction next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access with Bears quarterback Jay Cutler. I'm Zach Zabeman. Tom Thayer is along as well. And, before the break, we were talking about draft day. Remember that the draft starts. Bears have the 7th pick, but all of a sudden, the Titans are on the clock. They're in your hometown, and all of a sudden you start hearing the reports that the Titans are talking to the Bears, and you could potentially be out of here. And I'm sure at that point, were you watching the draft?
Yeah, we were watching the draft. We had a high pick, so we wanted to see what was going to happen.
So when you're watching this and you're hearing this about you, because I'm guessing the last time you were news on draft day was in 2006.
Yeah.
So what's running through your mind as you're hearing these reports?
It was with the Titans, so we have a house in Nashville, so it wasn't going to be tragic. I mean, we would at least have a place to live. My second thought was, until my phone rings from someone that has knowledge or importance, my agent or Ryan Pace or somebody else from a 615 number, I wasn't that concerned with it. So it kind of came and went, and I was here. I got to stay here, which I was glad to.
When you get the mixture of the experience of John Fox and a young guy like Ryan Pace, Who's the calming factor in between those? Is it the young energy of Ryan or is it experience of John?
It's kind of a mix. I mean, whenever you do talk to Ryan Pace, you do feel that energy and that excitement and that, he wants to improve in kind of every facet in the building. He wants to be on the cutting edge, and you appreciate that. Whenever you do talk with Foxy, you do feel that wisdom and that, he's been there before. Don't worry about it. Things are going to come.
Okay. And, don't worry.
Yeah, things are going to pass. We're gonna work through it together. So I think it's a really good mix of experience levels and personalities, really.
And you talked about the locker room and how it's low maintenance. A lot of egos have been shipped out. They're not in there, and it's a real team again. I find it fascinating that everyone on the outside seems to have this Jay Cutler make or break year. This is how do you judge what's going to – where do you see yourself career-wise, and what do you want to see in 2015 out of you?
I just want to run this offense the way that Adam and Dal and myself kind of envision it being ran. Be efficient, make the plays when I can make the plays and just kind of lead this group, which I think quarterback-wise, myself and Jimmy and some of the younger guys have done a good job so far of doing what we've been asked to do by our coaches and just kind of continuing down that road of progressing each and every day because it is going to be a challenge and is going to be something that, we're going to learn as we go a little bit in some facets of this offense.
you know, Ken Wisenhunt down Tennessee, he did, he got everybody locker assignments, but he says, we're going to keep our quarterbacks together. Did you have to change your locker? Are you still with the same group of guys? And it is important for the quarterbacks to be, because you have so much experience to give to David Fales or Carden or the rest of the guys.
Yeah, all the quarterbacks are together. I think last year Lamar Houston was by me, so all the quarterbacks are back together. And it's a good group. It's a fun group to be with. It's a they ask a lot of questions. They are curious, which is a good thing. They do want to get better. They they do ask myself and Jimmy certain things. So it's kind of a coaching experience also for me.
Jimmy, it's funny because I, being from Notre Dame, I remember when Jimmy came to Notre Dame and his flamboyant style.
We still talk to him about it.
I know, but give us a snippet of Jimmy. How is he that guy?
I mean the white limo, the picture of him with the four rings. I mean, there's so many things we can get on him about. But
if you took a look at Jay's picture the day he was introduced as Bears quarterback to now, I mean, everyone.
Right.
I mean, you had a mullet back in the day.
I know,
Tom.
But I just think of the position. I think it's,
he's I think he's so much different than that guy that you see, and he's, I don't know if he's changed because I didn't know him back then or how he is, but I really enjoy him in the room and really outside of the building as well, going to dinner and just hanging out with him. He does a really good job of asking questions and being on top of things. And he's also really cool. I mean, there's some Cali guys where I'm like, you know what? You can do your thing. I'm good. But Jimmy, I can hang out with Jimmy.
Good stuff. Thank you for hanging out with us. Jay Cutler, the Bears quarterback. Good luck this season. And hopefully you'll join us at some point again during the year.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice there he is. On. Jay Cutler, our guest. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.